We're going to start with a video. This is a video clip of J.I. Packer. He is one of the most influential Christian leaders of the 20th century. This is not my words. This is actually written by Christianity Today and by other people that know about him. And what's funny is J.I. Packer never pastored a huge mega church. He actually only pastored a couple of smaller Anglican churches. He never taught at really prestigious seminaries. He spent most of his career actually as a professor at Regent College in Vancouver. And, you know, just like Nazareth, what good thing can come from Vancouver? But anyway, so that's the way we often feel anyway about it, those things that are close to us. But he is today considered to be one of the most influential Christian leaders, and he is especially influential in the evangelical Christian community, which is us. We are part of that group. And those who hold to traditional Orthodox theology. He is a hero in the midst of a lot of liberal theology. He's a very learned man who supports the traditional views. So he's a great man. And I wanted you to hear his thoughts on the purpose of the church for a little bit this morning to start.
The church is the fellowship of all the Christians that there are. And it's the family of God. So, just as every father wants all his children to take each other seriously, and live together in love as a family, so our Heavenly Father wants the whole community of those whom He saved out of every nation and tribe and culture and part of the world to take each other seriously as brothers and sisters in the family. And that means taking the church seriously. The family organizes itself in any number of what we call congregations. Congregations are groups of Christians in the same area who gather together to worship God the Father, to worship and love the Lord Jesus, God the Son, to love each other and celebrate the fact that they are all in the reality of eternal life together, and to spread the word of the Christian gospel as widely as they can in their own part of the world. And for that matter, to organize the spreading of the gospel in other parts of the world, if they're able to do that. This is a way of saying that for God the Father, it's enormously important that the church, his family, be, shall I say, doing its stuff. And any person who thinks that I can be a Christian on my own without the church is really perverse. I'm sorry to have to say it, but I'll repeat it, really perverse. You can't live the real Christian life except as a member of the family and so as part of the church.
Now, a couple of things stood out to me in what he had to say. He's English, so did you hear what he said, what word he used about those who think we can kind of be solo Christians, not be connected and not be part of the family and still be a Christian? Do you hear what word he used? Perverse. It's rather strong language, I thought. And I want to say this. I mean, there are times when can be between churches. The church isn't necessarily this congregation in itself. The church is the universal church of Jesus Christ. I think you're in it when you say yes to Christ, whether you know it or not. You are part of it. But there's a point he's making. And the point I think that's very, very critical for us today is just this understanding that you cannot, in a sense, live out the fullness of God's desire for you separate from one another. We just can't. We are meant to complement one another. And Paul even says, if If one part is missing, the whole body hurts. But if you've separated yourself from the whole body, then you are hurting. And that's what he's really talking about. So he's saying, in a sense, that we need to be together. We need to gather together. And we need to make sure that we keep doing that. Because sometimes it's not easy. And sometimes there's things that make us not want to be part of the community of faith. And there's lots of, you know, work that has to be done. And after a while, when you've been in the church for a long time, it's easy to kind of say, you know, I'd love to just take a break from this. And I think that's a temptation that he's telling us to run from. The second thing that stood out for me is we need to do the stuff. What is the stuff? I was reading one of my old sermons, actually, recently. I like to do that because I find them exhilarating. Anyway, even if you guys don't, I think they're well written. Anyway, but I was actually reading one of them, and what I found out is, I was quoting some famous person, but most churches, I think we'd all understand this, most churches, there are two fundamental areas of ministry that are constantly neglected in the church. And one of them would be outreach. One of them would be getting out the doors of the church and really impacting the community in some way and sharing our faith with our neighbors and friends. How many of you feel like, if you're honest, that it's probably the hardest and often most neglected part of our Christian walk? Just, are you with me? The second thing is actually discipleship. And what I mean by that, like right now, I'm discipling you. You need to understand, like most churches try to disciple people. This is part of it. Sunday mornings aren't like a throwaway where we should just think that they're totally useless and the real discipleship happens at some other time. This is important, so this is part of it. But when we really look at helping one another, discipleship is a lot more. Remember, it's not just about making converts, it's about making disciples. And disciples are followers of Jesus, and it takes a lot of intentionality in working together, mentoring one another, growing together, and doing a lot of things outside of Sunday morning. And so I think that when we look at that, oftentimes discipleship is also a neglected area in the church. And if you think about that, really, that's the mission of the church, isn't it? So it's kind of a sad statement if you think about it, that the things that we neglect the most are probably the primary things that God is calling us to do. But that's the reality. That's what often I think that's also because that's exactly what the devil wants us to not do. So this morning is our kickoff Sunday as a church. And what we do on this Sunday each year is talk about our vision a little bit. We talk about our plans for the coming ministry year, which starts in September. And for the next few months, our primary activity as a church we'll be doing those two things, reaching out and also discipling people. We're going to do the reaching out through our Alpha course that's starting September 19th. And lots of you have signed up for it. Lots of you are planning to bring people. I hear all kinds of amazing little stories about people that are eager to come. And I want to just explain that to you that, you know, the world out there is far more open than I think we realize. And just to encourage you, if you haven't invited somebody yet and somebody's on your mind, invite them. Just invite. The worst thing they can say is no. You know, for other Christians, they got fed to the lions when they did stuff like this. You know, the worst that can happen to us is they go, no. That's it. So just, I'm calling you to do that. But also, I'm going to talk a little bit about our discipleship process in the church, and we're doing a lot of initiatives in the next while to really lift that up as well. But before I do that, I want to explain something about pastoral ministry and calling. In his book called The Pastor, fellow named Dr. Eugene Peterson, who is the one who wrote the translation of the Bible called The Message. He's the one who translated it and wrote it. And he says this. He says that the primary role of a pastor is not to preach entertaining sermons or to organize the church and be kind of like this big CEO guy, which I thank the Lord that he says that. But although that stuff is important, but it's actually a prophetic thing. And not necessarily in the charismatic sense that we just experience where we're getting words and that, although that can be part of it. But it is more about seeing the times that we live in and then preaching and teaching what the church needs to hear in order to combat often the culture around us and to stay true to God and to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the fundamental purpose of a pastor, is to be prophetic and to see what the congregation needs and to speak that to them. So this morning I want to have this sort of fireside chat with you. It's going to be a weighty one. Usually on Kickoff Sunday we like to have lots of fun, kick some footballs around. I think that men must have invented this word Kickoff Sunday, because it's used by the church all over the place, and it starts right when the NFL starts. Have you noticed that? Yeah, exactly. So it's sort of like Kickoff Sunday. Like, there's nothing in the Bible about football, but anyway, it's something that we do. I think if women were the ones that used the name, it would be something like American Idol Sunday or something like that. Yeah, Idol would have been out of it. That's probably true. But today is a weighty message, and there's reasons for that. And I wanted to have lots of fun, but it felt superficial when I was praying for some reason. Over the last few months, Nancy and I have heard of a number of significant ministry leaders falling into moral failure, both in Campbell River and beyond. I'm not going to name all the names and stuff. Some of you may know about them. But very sad events have taken place. Most recently, one of them being a very significant Canadian Vineyard pastor and leader. And he's in real trouble because of this moral failure. And this event has cast a heavy shadow over many Vineyard churches and people that were positively affected through his ministry in the past. And they kind of wonder how in the world this could happen, because we know him and he's just not like this. And what happened? And if he can fall, what about us? Like, how do we stop from falling into the same thing? And there's a great sense of betrayal, pain, doubt that kind of comes in when these events happen. And so my prophetic sense this morning, and all of these things have happened probably within about a six-month period, and a significant number of them, enough that I feel like this is something we all need to wake up and take notice of and pray into. So this is a gentle exhortation, a plea to take seriously this morning, both your faith in Christ, your involvement in the community, in this community, if this is the one you're called into, and to really be all in for Jesus again. My plea is, in one sense, the needed vision for our church. We can have all of the wonderful, exciting plans that we can be putting into place, but if this thing is missing, it will go for nothing. And all of it will, in fact, implode on itself. And so this is my vision, but it would never be read as a vision statement, I don't think, in the church. But it's this: stand firm in your faith. Commit in your hearts today to go all in with Jesus once again, no matter where you are. Turn away this morning. Like, this is an opportunity. I think that sometimes, you know, we haven't felt the full brunt, or we haven't even gone the full way into some temptation that the enemy is placing in front of us, and it doesn't need to be sexual, although often it is, but it could be into cheating or lying or doing something else. Greed, avarice, all kinds of sins are also part of it. But there is this sense when there is grace that God has given you because you haven't yet gone all the way. But if you keep going down the path that you're going on, you will suddenly discover yourself in a place that you wonder, how in the world did I get here? How in the world did I get here? And so this is a grace moment, if you can think about it that way, that God is saying to all of us this morning, run from it. Don't just play around in it or just be thinking about, oh, it doesn't really hurt anybody. I'm not going to really do it. I'm not going to go there. But, you know, it's fun to think about it. Don't give it one foothold in your life, but run the other direction. Run into the arms of Jesus and commit yourself fully to Him. Again, don't believe that you're immune and let down your guard. Remember what Paul says in 1 Corinthians, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. Pride is the breeding ground for all failure and fall. Proverbs 16:18 said, pride comes before destruction. I know this isn't a fun message, but this is my prophetic sense. It is what the Spirit is impressing on me. Because, as Terry said, I believe this is what the Lord said. Something big is coming. I want to do something wonderful in your body. I want to actually do something wonderful, not just in this body, but in the church across the whole world. Something amazing. But we must be ready. And our lives need to match our message. Can we hear amen on that? Galatians 6:7-9 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. And I think that's one of the things that happens for when you're a brand new Christian. You're super excited about God. Maybe you're leaving all the crap. You know it's crap. You've been in the midst of it. And one of the reasons you're coming to Christ is because you need relief from the crap in your life. Crap being crap. Anyway, I always get in trouble because people, you know, that's swearing, Barry. That's, anyway. All the garbage in your life. And you're running away from it so you know that it's garbage. But then after you've walked with Christ for a long time and it seems like some of the dreams that you thought were going to happen don't quite happen the way you thought they were, and then you've been let down a few times by the church, or you've watched pastors fall, people you thought were amazing Christian men, and you kind of get this jaded view, and suddenly it is weary to do good. Do you get what I'm saying? And it can creep up on you. You can just be, you know, there's that young, enthusiastic, new Christian. He'll learn. And my prayer this morning is that those of us who are in that weary place would learn from the young, enthusiastic Christian and remember our first love. Remember your first love and rush into it again. Commit yourself wholly in your life and in your conduct and in what you do to Christ and to His kingdom, because He wants you to not be weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest. And then I this part always kind of worries me a little. It's not worrying really, but there's a caveat to it in Galatians 6, 7 to 9. He says, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest. And I wish it ended there, but then it says, if we do not give up, which implies that you might not reap the full harvest that God wants for your life. I'm not talking about salvation, but I'm talking about what your God, what your life is about, what God is going to do with you and through you. You might not reap that if you give up. And the temptation often is to give up. I think that some of these people that fell, they just gave up. There is an enemy. And when we want to do amazing things for God, the enemy does not look at us and go, oh, sure, good, I'll just leave you alone. Because you're planning to totally undermine everything I'm about to do or want to do. No. Those who stand up and say, I'm going to fight against the kingdoms of this world and the kingdom of darkness, and I'm going to bring in the kingdom of light, and we're going to take ground for Jesus, and we're going to see people saved, and we're going to change our community, those people get the devil's attention. And oftentimes, tries to just weary them. Don't give up. Don't give up. So here's the question. Have you let your guard down? Are you entertaining sinful thoughts or activities that you ran from in the past? Do you have hidden sin in your life? If so, turn now, today, this morning. Repent, as the scripture says. And this is interesting. I'm not, you know, there's lots we could debate about this, but I just feel like you need to hear before it's too late. For some, for this pastor that I know, his life will forever be changed because of what's happened. We don't know if his marriage will survive. We don't know what was going to happen. There is grace in this period where the worst has not yet happened to you. But if you continue down that path, you will reap the end consequences. And so this is a moment of grace, isn't it, that God says to you right now in this place. I don't know what's going on. I don't know who I'm talking to specifically. But I'm saying to you, if there's even a little bit of entertaining the old nature that's coming to you, if you're feeling like, you know, I can play around this, I'm okay, I'm good, no, you know, it's nothing serious. I'm telling you this morning, run from it. Shut it down. Come back. Repent. Turn to Christ. Live the godly life that He's calling you to live. Think about all the Christian leaders who have been caught in places where they thought they would never be. Jimmy Swaggart, Jim Baker, Paul Kane, Ted Haggard, even Bill Hybels recently. I don't know if you read about all of that. He's in trouble for high-profile Christian leaders caught in some scandal that forever tarnishes their legacy. And it's my plea, run from it into Christ Jesus in a fresh way. This last week, Nancy and I, you may or may not know this, were installed as the regional leaders for British Columbia for the Canadian Vineyard. We were asked to lead the vineyard in BC. And we both felt prophetically that this is something God wants us to do. He's saying, yes, please do this. And He's opened the door for us to do it. But it comes with great, great responsibility. This is not a prideful thing. I don't need this to feel good about myself. As a matter of fact, what I feel is a fearful sense that I must commit my own self in every way to walking in integrity and holiness with God. Because our conduct, Nancy's and mine, our actions will not just affect our own lives or even this church, all of you obviously, but it now will affect the whole region. We can bless the region or we can harm the region. God wants people who finish well. Amen? Who, after all the ups and downs, after all of the good, the bad, and the ugly that can come with life in the church, that we choose to stand, we choose to obey, we choose to follow, we choose to finish the race, we choose to persevere. And when the world calls us fools, we stand.